WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I've disappointed and failed to live up to the standard I expected of myself. I must now dedicate some time to regain the trust of my family.
Governor Spitzer, now 19 hours ago, when will we hear from him again? But when Governor Spitzer made that humiliating one-minute statement yesterday, his wife, Silda Spitzer, was right by his side. What a humiliation for her. Why do political wives do that? How do they do that? With me now, longtime New York Times political writer, currently off writing a book, Joyce Pernick. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. So did you watch yesterday, and what were you thinking as you watched Mrs. Spitzer up there?
Just what a tragedy this is. I really, this is, I don't know her. I can't even begin to climb into her mind, but this is an extraordinary tragedy, and I agree with your last guest, the professor, who was saying we can't know what goes on in a marriage. We don't know what she knew and when she knew it, other than something I read in the Times today that she was involved in conversations with the governor and his staff yesterday. So maybe she had just learned about it, even though he knew about it Friday or Saturday. I don't know what goes on. There was an interesting hint, though. I was reading in today's New York Post, which was quoting an interview that Silda Spitzer had with the Albany Times Union last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can I read these two lines to you?
Sure.
They're really, I thought, quite revealing.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "Elliot and I both grew up with parents who worked together as a strong team," Silda said in an interview last year with the Albany Times Union. Quote, "That's the only way I know how to go about it, to be as supportive as I can be for him. He is in turn as supportive as he can be with my interests and endeavors," close quote. So that's one insight, perhaps, of what was motivating her. The other might be that, according to this same article, she had an early marriage that failed and was hurt and embarrassed by the failed marriage. So I think the desire to keep the marriage together for herself, for her husband of 20 years, and for her three children must be very strong. That's all. That's a pure guess.
Mm-hmm, right. And we're going to open up the phones for the next few minutes with Joyce Pernick here, only for women. What do you think of the role of the political wife? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you were in Silda Spitzer's shoes, granted, you can't know everything about their particular marriage, but what about in your marriage? What about in general for a public figure, if there is a general? What would you have done? What would you do? What do you think you would do? And women, are you disagreeing with the men in your life or with other women about whether Spitzer should resign or whether this is a victimless crime? 212-433-WNYC. Let me just get the number out there. 212-433-9692 for women on the governor's situation and on the question of prostitution. Joyce?
I was just going to say, just slightly off, while people call in, slightly off the point, but on the point of the larger issue here. Should he or should he not resign? I think people who are talking about morality and that it's a misdemeanor and so on are missing a point, which is I don't think that he can govern any longer. I think looking purely pragmatically at whether he can run the state of New York and whether he can make compromises and so on, which is what a governor has to do with the leaders of the state legislature, and have the respect of both the people and lawmakers. I think that that well had already been poisoned by his conduct, and now I think it becomes impossible. I'm not sure it's more complicated than that.
Well, we do know from Bob Henley, WNYC reporter in Albany at the top of the hour, that the state Senate Republican majority says the governor has 48 hours before they begin impeachment proceedings.
Exactly. I mean, I just don't. I don't think anyone will work with him. I think that began with his broadsides against Bruno, the leader of
right,
the state
so-called,
Senate,
so-called.
And it's just now it's like who's going to work with him?
Right.
So I think.
Well, let me play that out one step. Let's say that they begin the impeachment proceedings, and the governor stands up there and says, "Ladies and gentlemen of New York State, what I did was a horrible thing to do to my wife. However, if they're going to say I can't govern on this basis, well, you elected me to govern. They've been trying to prevent me from governing and making the changes that I was elected to bring to this state from day one. People of New York, I want you on my side. You elected me. Only you can turn me out."
Well, I think that's very hypothetical, Brian, and I don't see it happening. And I think if by any chance it he were to try that, it wouldn't work. I don't see how it works.
Why should a political wife stand by her man in a case like this? Why do they?
You're asking me why
they.
I think it depends. It depends on the nature of the. I really do. I'm not ducking the question. I think it depends on the nature of the relationship. It's any wife, not just a political wife. How mm-hmm. many? How many spouses? Mostly women, but in some cases men. Stand by their husbands and wives when they get in financial trouble. When they're indicted. I mean, we see this over and over and over again. As sometimes they stay by their spouses, and sometimes they walk out. And
right.
I think you have to know more about the relationship in order to be able to answer that question.
Eventually walk out. But right at that moment, Mrs. McGreevy, Dina McGreevy, was up there with Jim McGreevy the day he gave his gay American speech. And then, of course, we know that broke down in acrimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of it is that I think in life most of us stick by custom. We do what we had done in the past while the shock when there is a shocking situation sets in, and that is mostly what political wives do. They decide in some cases to give up careers to back their husbands, and in other cases,
and she did too.
And she did too, and she left a law career and then did volunteer work, and I gather very valid volunteer work. But she did make that decision for her husband and for her children, and that's her choice to make. So I think if that's the way people live their lives, then when this shocking event comes along, they probably fall back on tradition, at least at first. But in specific, I don't think you can make judgments about mm-hmm. marriages. How many people do you know you thought they had, the couples, you thought they had the ideal marriage,
right.
And one day, and you're shocked to find out
what
one
goes
day
on.
They split up. Well, I mean, you just can't know.
Kristen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Well, I don't think a woman should keep standing by. I wish we would finally see a woman who would have a press conference prior to her man and say, "I'm not going to be there standing by. It doesn't mean a thing, but I'm just choosing not to be there." It just makes me cringe to see a woman have to stand there and remain poised in the face of such a tragedy. And granted, we don't know what goes on behind their closed doors, and I do feel terribly for them. But I personally would not stand by.
I'm sure women across New York State were cringing yesterday as this thing was being broadcast.
I have to say, I did cringe. I watched her face and her body language. It was very sad.
Louise in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Louise.
Hi there. Hi. I believe that your guests are correct that we don't know what goes on in marriages. And as Henry Kissinger famously said, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. He had many girlfriends, and he never married, as far as I know, so he was lucky he could do what he wanted. But, you know, he did marry. Okay, well, I believe that his Spitzer's wife is at fault. You know, if he wanted kinky sex, it was her job to provide it in some way. And
ooh.
Her denial of it was not, was forcing him to go outside. I know that makes it sound like
good grief.
Really, what a leap.
Yeah, but, really. Look at
It's her job to please him, is what you're saying.
What?
You're saying it's a woman's job to please her man? Oh, please.
No, I'm saying that they should work these things out. And you know, look at all these sex guides and all that stuff. You know, if he's got, you know, they said in the Times, he's a difficult client and likes to do unsafe things. That's what they said right there in the New York Times.
Well, they said, yeah, I guess they said that. I read in the official complaint that in the summary of these phone calls between the prostitute and her agency, she said he wasn't difficult, but asked her to do unsafe things that weren't specified. So maybe just not use a condom. We don't know if it was kinky. But anything else you want to say about that, Joyce?
Not a thing. I will say, and one thing we haven't really said here, and I'd like to say it now, is we're talking about why did she stand by her man? Why did he drag her out there? I think that's a better question. Why didn't he, and why don't other men in public life, politics, and business, when they get in trouble, why don't they have the judgment to say, I'm going to go out there alone
right.
and
Honey,
face
you,
the music? How about that, guys?
There's a good question. Now, from the New York Times today, it says, Sylda Wall Spitzer, all right, I'm going to go back up a line. Mr. Spitzer's family and his top assistants debated Monday morning at right. Mr. Spitzer's apartment about whether he should step down, a person who spoke to the governor said. Sylda Wall Spitzer, who was among them, told her husband that he should not resign in haste, as did Lloyd Constantine, a senior advisor and longtime friend of the governor, but most of his others saw no way for him to survive.
Yes, I read that. Yeah.
So she's saying he should not resign in haste.
In haste.
What do you think that means?
I think she was probably speaking as a lawyer. From what I understand, there could be charges here, and I suspect that
and that's one
not stepping down immediately would give him some negotiating room. I don't know that, but
yeah.
That's my guess. She
right. If there
she
are,
was a very successful lawyer. I think she
indeed.
Did. She was saying, don't move quickly.
If there are charges being contemplated, I think it's very common that the politician negotiates with the prosecutors to drop the charges in exchange for resignation,
right.
drop any request for jail time in exchange for resignation, whatever it may be.
Yeah, so I think it was a legal judgment by a lawyer. In this
Renee
case,
in
wife.
The Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Renee.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
My point is that her appearing with her husband sends a message to all young women and women around that, you know, their role is to stay beside a man no matter what, and they're more or less portrayed in a victim role. And I think that if women do not appear, or if she did not appear, it would send a message to other women, we're not going to stand for this. And maybe if women decided not to stand for it, maybe their husbands wouldn't look for outside activities and try to work within their marriage to improve whatever they have to improve.
Well, see, we have one saying we have to give them anything he wants in the bedroom, and somebody else saying we have to not stand for it. No wonder everybody's all confused.
I don't think there's any confusion there. I think that the point is that, well, I guess, you know, women are willing to put up with most anything, but how many men would stand next to a wife if a wife were in office? How many men would put up with that kind of thing and stand by their women? I mean, Sarkozy's wife did not stand by her husband. She didn't appear with him. And Sylda Wall is making a statement to other young women who are looking. I'm looking at my teenage granddaughter, and she looks at something like this, and she says, well, this is to be condoned. You know, it kind of is a real cynicism in government and a cynicism in marriages as well.
Thank you very much, Renee. By the way, the pendulum has swung on our comments page. Now, out of 253 comments posted, the majority say, or at least the plurality, say that Governor Spitzer should resign. 114 yes, 98 no, 41 other kinds of posts. You can keep at it if you want at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Joyce Pernick, longtime New York Times political writer, with me for another 2 minutes, a couple of minutes. You know, Joyce, Ann Applebaum posted on Slate today,
mm-hmm.
in defense of the political wives who go to the press conference, smile forced smiles and say nothing, she writes. Speaking as a political wife myself, and she even writes the word ahem in there, A-H-E-M. Speaking ahem, as a political wife myself, I can see one clear advantage to this option. It's all over quickly, and no one asks you for a follow-up interview. You appear once, and then you vanish forever along with your husband's career. If you've been clever about it, you've kept your maiden name and can thus return to your own career. Those who make other, more attention-getting choices will later be forced back into the limelight to explain themselves, which is gruesome.
Well, that's one way to read it. You know, that suggests that there was a great deal of advance planning and plotting almost on the part of Zilda Wall Spitzer, and I somehow doubt that. I think this had to have come. Just look at it. Look at her face and look at the body language. I mean, I think that this had to have come as a shock, and I think that she made a quick decision about how to conduct herself in the opening hours of this scandal. And my guess is she did not make a long term decision, and she didn't think of long time about the ramifications. I just wish he'd thought a little bit more about it, frankly.
Marcia in Wappingers Falls, we've got about 20 seconds for you.
I think this whole thing is absolute nonsense. A man's family life, a man's ability to have a good family life, his sexual behavior, has absolutely nothing to do with his political program and what he wants to accomplish. I think prostitution is a perfectly lousy job. But there are lots of other jobs that are even more lousy. I think it should be legal so that prostitutes can be protected.
And we will have exactly that discussion later next hour on that question. Should prostitution be legal? Is this, in fact, a victimless crime? I think women disagree with each other pretty broadly on this. But, you know, she used a phrase, Marcia did, to our screener. She didn't say it on the air, but she said to our screener, it's American Puritanism. And Joyce, the caller from the Bronx, Renee, mm-hmm. said, you know, it was different in the case of Sarkozy. Do you think, although his wife walked out on him, is this an American thing? Would we even be having this resignation discussion if this was happening in France or Britain or Sweden? And we have 30 seconds.
You know, I don't know enough about Brandt, Sweden,
and
so on,
Britzer
and they're more
Donald.
So I can tell you about Albany and New York, and it's not going to fly.
One other thing about Albany, then, this will apparently cost one superdelegate to Hillary Clinton, right?
Yes.
Because if Spitzer resigns, he loses his position as a superdelegate, correct?
Yep.
And then nobody replaces him.
As I understand, although, I given the DNC and its ability to sort of make rules and change them constantly, I wouldn't be surprised if they found a way to replace them.
All right. Joyce Pernick, longtime New York Times political writer, off working on a book about a politician who will remain unnamed, at least for now.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Good talking with you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.